on Zoom, socially distanced, we have Becky Centeno from Modus Operandi.
Hello.
Hello, hi, Becky. Everyone. Becky, so you are the Melbourne sales rep. Is that the correct role?
Melbourne sales or Victorian sales manager.
Victorian sales manager. And I just asked you off air, where's your accent from?
I'm from New York.
New York.
So don't judge me. Originally, but I've lived here long enough that I say things like reckon and pardon. So that works too.
Yeah. And do the people over in New York, when they talk to you, do they say you've got an Australian accent now?
Yeah, they do. It's the weirdest thing. I don't think I sound Australian whatsoever.
No.
But yeah, they call me Australian. It's weird.
I don't think you sound Australian either, but that's not necessarily a bad thing at times. So Modus Operandi, one of my favorite breweries, and I used to be the beer guy at my old job, but that was 10 years ago now, and beer has changed a lot in 10 years. It's changed a staggering amount, and Sonic Prayer and Former Tenant are amazing beers for me, some of the best I've tried in the world. I absolutely love them, and especially I had an epiphany. I had Sonic Prayer on tap up at Sydney Airport. It was the last flight out, and it was heavily delayed. And I'm like, that's it. I'm getting a drink. And it was amazing. It was so fresh. I had not had anything like it. That was just a stunning drink. So I bet you feel, I mean, it must be good to work with a range of beers such as Modus.
Yeah, I actually was a huge Modus fan before I started working for them. So it was kind of like a dream come true in my craft beer nerd head and mind. So it's been an absolute pleasure being able to talk about those beers, teach people about those beers, but also drink them myself. So it's pretty nice. Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. And Modus, in fact, is turning 6 years old.
Yes, we are. We're turning six next week, or this upcoming weekend, rather. Yeah.
And how long have you worked for them?
So I've worked for them for about a year and a half now, but it feels like I've been with them for a century, especially with everything that's happened. We've bonded so intensely, but yeah, like just the team itself, they're always so loving and so like welcoming. So it doesn't matter if you're there for 1 month or you're there for several years, it feels like you've been part of the team forever.
And are you guys doing anything to celebrate 6 years of being around?
Yeah. So, well, hopefully, fingers crossed, in New South Wales, they are still pretty lucky that they can go out. Obviously, keeping social distancing in line. So we have a sixth birthday party. We're calling it the Masquerade. And that is on Saturday. So far, I believe there's still tickets. There's like tickets for a nominal fee, $10, but you have to sit down the whole entire time in order to, yeah. So we're trying to balance it and do the right thing and have people come and celebrate, but like do the right thing by the current situation.
And just sort of going back to the beers themselves, So Sonic Prayer, for example, is that your main beer, like the main line that you guys sell?
It's a good question. What is the main beer? I guess I would say it's one of our most popular beers, Sonic Prayer and Former Tenant. And Former Tenant actually was the beer that we first started with or like launched when we started almost 6 years ago. So that beer and Sonic Prayer have like a very special place in our hearts, but there isn't really a main beer. I guess it's just like what's popular at the time, but both of those beers have won multiple awards. So the one thing about Former Tenant, actually, it has a very special award right now. It's Champion IPA from the Indies Awards just recently. So
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, so it beat out like so many other amazing IPAs. So we're pretty proud of Former Tenant. And Sonic Prayer has won lots of awards as well. So we absolutely love those beers, but it's not like our main beer. I guess just our most popular, well-known beer. Yeah.
And what kind of style would you say the former tenant is? Like, if you were explaining to people who maybe drink more wine than beer.
Yeah, so that actually is my favorite of the, like, I hate picking, because, like, picking your children, like, who's your favorite kid?
I've got favorite kids. It just changes all the time.
Well, it is kind of, like, I get into moods and I pick different beers, but former tenant just has a very, very special place in my heart because it's a red IPA. So a red IPA is an IPA but red in color, right? But there's a little bit more to that. The beautiful thing about it, and this is why I love the style, when you're making it, when you're brewing it, in order to get that beautiful red, like ruby color, you have to put more malt in, and then there's a specific type of malt that you use to get that color, and usually people use something called crystal malt. Now, crystal malt has this like caramel toffee flavor, and it's really lovely in beer, but a red IPA has to finish dry. Yeah. And in order to impart that like dryness, you have to be technically skilled as a brewer. It's quite difficult to do. So if a brewery can produce a red IPA well, like that sweetness up in the top and the dryness in the back, then you know that they're good. And that's what you get with Former Tenant.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful beer. It's always done well. And also it's 7.8%. So it does the job. it gets you there. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to ask too about beer. You work obviously for Motors, but you said you're a beer nerd as well. And back when I was the beer guy at my old job, you know, beer was 5% alcohol. And a strong beer was maybe 5.5 or 6% alcohol. And now having tried a whole lot of other beers that are stronger and, you know, up around the 7-8, you know, some of them get up to 10 and 12, it's craziness. But can you have a full flavored beer at 5% alcohol, or does it need to be a bit stronger to actually develop the flavors more?
Yeah, so actually you can have wacky, wild, wonderful kinds of flavors in beer, and it can be virtually no alcohol in it. It's really cool. Like the reason I really got into beer and started studying beer, so I actually am a certified Cicerone, and I do judging as well, and I just keep studying. It's so fascinating because there's all like about around over 200 different styles of beer.
Yeah.
So there's just this variety of like styles, and what you find as you like deep dive and you discover new things, like a good style to look up if anyone's listening to the beer stuff. I know it's my show. it's called a Gosa. It's spelled like goes, but it's called Gosa. So and that's a really beautiful style to show the versatility of beer. In that it's usually low in alcohol, around 3%, 3.5%, but it has these really interesting characteristics of, you know, a bit of like saltiness, coriander, spice, but then people can throw in some other like adjuncts to make it like fun and funky. And there's a few examples here in Australia, and it's low in ABV. So it's just about, like, when it comes to brewing, it's about how much sugar you put into your brew, and you can measure that through different means, and you can also reduce it after the fact as well. So there's different ways in which to, like, make it lower in ABV, but you still get the full flavor, so.
I was actually speaking to Michael Trembath before the show, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, you say, I don't really like a hoppy beer. And people are like, no worries, have this. And they're talking not super hoppy in the sort of more modern style. And they're discounting all of those, you know, like the sour beers, but also, you know, the English beers, which don't have those really rich hoppy notes. They're the maltier styles. And people have kind of seem to have forgotten about those. And they're all into the IPAs and how much hop flavor you can actually jam into one can.
Yeah, I mean, there's there's place for that. Like I mean personally I love the hop bombs. I'm from America. the more hops the better. But I'm just joking. Yeah, that's why I always tell anyone that comes up to me and says, oh, well, I don't like beer. I always just like to say that it just isn't a style you haven't found yet that you like.
Yeah.
Because beer isn't just hoppy. Beer isn't just malty. Beer can be all sorts of different flavors. I mean, there's beers that have virtually no hops or very little. And so with those styles, not just sours, but wild fermented beers, also not Irish. Oh my gosh, Scottish. Almost forgot the Scottish ale. Scottish ales historically had virtually no hops in it, and they're like these juicy malt bombs, and people forget about that style. And then there's, I'm going down a rabbit hole. But you know, if anyone's out there and you swear to God that you can never like beer, please somehow find me Becky at mopurine.com.au. Like I swear I can. There is a style. There is something for you out there. You just have to find a little bit more, dig a little bit more.
Yeah, and often the answer is not the commercial beers that we find in all over the world. They serve a purpose, but they're not the most flavorful or the most interesting a lot of the time. Hey, since we're on the wine show, I will bring something up. Some of you talked about the farmhouse beers, the wild fermented ones, the beers with Brett in them. So yeah. As a wine guy, Brettanomyces is one of the worst things that ever happened to the world. And you're trying to get me to drink them.
Yeah, no, I talked to one of my wine friends about this and they're like, you're crazy, you know. man, those microbes are so cool. Brett, PDO, I could go on and on. There's just so much fun that can happen, I like to say. Yeah, Brett, has that very distinctive like horse blanket, like barnyard funkiness. But the reason that we like really enjoy it in certain types of beers, I mean, mind you, if you find it in like an IPA, there might be an issue.
Yeah.
But yeah, like with certain types of wild fermented beers, it's just quite beautiful because it adds this extra level of like complexity, but it always kind of pairs with what's going on in that beer. So a really good example of like a producer that does, he's like, well, very famous producer, it's Cantillon from Belgium. And they have this like very beautiful ability to have balanced beers, but like all sorts of like beautiful flavors that come about in the beers. But that also is because they've been brewing beer for a long time and they have their microbes that have been like festering there for years and years and years and years and years. So they use the same building so that they don't lose those strains that they've like cultivated. It's really cool.
Yeah, I have tried some good ones, I have to say, but it's still, it does seem weird. And I'm just not sure I can do it. Hey, Becky, we're just going to grab a quick break and we'll come back and maybe chat about some of the special releases you got coming up.
Okay, thank you.
You're back on The Wine Show, 96.5 Inner FM. Our guest on the show at the moment is Becky Centeno from Modus Operandi. And we're talking beer because Modus Operandi is a brewery. You're just turning 6 years old next weekend. Becky doing a little victory dance. One of the big things that have changed in the 10 years since I was selling beer is special releases and, this sort of idea of limited edition beers, which is, it's able to do, obviously, but people are really getting into it and getting behind it. You just released one, which I missed out on, the Press Rewind, which was an old school American IPA. Mm-hmm. It's still out there. Tell us about what makes that one special.
Yeah, that one's a particular beer nerd favorite of mine. And so is our next one right now that's coming out soon. But Press Rewind, what that is about is taking the old, like that West Coast style back. Now, what people don't realize is that with West Coast IPAs, You have them now. You go like this, and there's a lot of people making them, which is awesome. And you have them now, and they're quite in America we say dank, but like, people don't understand what that means. So like weedy, you know, quite resinous, quite piney, but very bitter. You know, quite light in body as well, or lighter in body. But an old school West Coast, those you gotta, and to help you put it in your head, you gotta think of Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Yep.
Yeah. So yep. If you have a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, or and you have like a more recent American Pale style, completely different, black and white, because now the style's developed to be like more bitter, more intense, and hence what West Coast have followed. But that Sierra Nevada, like, it's still delicious, but it has a like that pretty strong malt backbone to it. And that's what you're going to find with our West Coast. It's bringing it back to that classic style, that like very, and so there's like a very strong malt character in the beer, a bit of like biscuit crystal, but what you'll find is that the bitterness is still there, the dankness is still there, that hop character is still there, but it's not going to be that lighter in body and less like malt, I guess, driven beer that people are thinking West Coast are.
Now, you say dank. To me, it kind of smells like pickles, and I hope that's not an insult, but that's kind of how...
That's okay.
That's how I verbalized it, or like when I was trying to describe that flavor. I think dank sounds better, though.
Yeah, no, but it's quite... I realize this now that I'm here. Like, in America, we use the word a lot, and then when I use it here, people are like, what are you talking about? So... Dank refers to the aroma specifically, just yep. like that. It's meant to be more like that, like real heavy resin kind of, and yeah, I said weedy, like it's just that intense aroma. And maybe that's how you associate it with pickles. That's fine. Yep. Like everyone has their own kind of like memory association with that smell. But yeah, dank is like the term.
The first time I heard that, I'm like, what does that even mean? That's a proper wine wanker term where outside of the industry, people are like, that doesn't actually have any context or any meaning. It's
so. I get you.
Yeah.
And then now go, if you can, have the press rewind and smell it, and you'll be like, yeah, that is dank. Right, like that's dank. You'll associate it. You'll get it. I promise. It's one of those things.
All right, so that will be the reference level from now on. The bar will be set at Press Rewind.
Yes.
Hey, and you've got one new one coming out, the Doppelator.
Yeah. Oh, man. Talk about, like, beer, like I was saying, like, beer nerd love. This is even worse. Like, this is, like, so cool. I'm so excited by this beer. I know that people don't really understand what a Doppelbock is, but it's just such a beautiful style of beer. It's a European dark lager. So what you're going to find with it, it's like the best of both worlds. You get like the sessionability and drinkability of a lager, but it has this like really delicious, like nutty, roasty kind of sweetness to it too. So you get like that, you know, if you like stouts and dark ales, you get that, you know, character you love, but then you can smash heaps of it. Like you just down them all day. It's great. However, it's kind of similar to like how Former Tenant is 7.8, but drinks really, really well.
Yeah.
This is 7.6% the Doppelator, and it drinks super well. So Doppelator, Doppelbock, like the name, Doppelator, that's why I'm like nerding out. is it comes from the like basically it's a nod to the original creators of the style. So it was created in Bavaria by Italian monks, and they created it because they made it basically they were like, oh, we fast a lot, so why don't we just add more grain to this beer thing and then just have that as like liquid bread. But little did they know, the more malt you add, the more sugar you create, and the more sugar you create, the more alcoholic the beer is. So there's these like drunk monks somewhere, you know, just going around. It must have been great to see. But that, but the creators of that style, they're called Planner Salvatore.
Yep.
T-O-R. So that's Doppelator. And then you look at the states, like anyone who's made a doppelbock pretty much always does like a da-da-da tour, like ends their the like style with that, or like the beer with that name, as a nod to the original like style of the beer. So
that's amazing. I don't think we can top liquid bread. Becky, we've got to keep moving. We've got Michael Trembar sitting there waiting to have a chat. So we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for getting up on Sunday morning and teaching me about beer. I always love to learn a little bit more about it.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks, everyone.
And people can find more about modus operandi at mobrewing.com.au.